Excellent. Our next reader is one of our hosts this evening. She is the editor of Menacing Hedge. She's also been published in Frigg magazine, so she is representing Frigg for this reading. Kelly Boyker.
Okay. And I'm really nervous because I actually have invited a non-poet friend. So I'm terrified. Otherwise, I would be fine, but okay.
I think everybody's super talented.
Okay, okay, the first poem I'm going to... Am I too close to the microphone?
No.
Is this good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The first poem I'm going to read is based on a series of mug shots from the 1930s and 40s that appeared on the website Square America. And there's some objectionable, slightly like un-PC language. All the bad stuff is taken from the description. So it was like basically a picture of a person and then a very brief description of their crime. And so I've, you know, added my own ideas. Okay. So if you hear anything that's like, it's not me. Okay.
Right.
So it's called American Dictionary because of the words. American Dictionary. When I was held under the suspicion of a stolen watch, I had a stocky build. My skin was negroid. My eyes were maroon. The year was 1933. I sat on the bus bench, my feet curled beneath me, praying, "Sweet baby Jesus, sweet, sweet baby Jesus, please save me," clutching the pocket watch my mistress had given me in my left hand, and with my right hand plucking my eyelashes one by one and dropping them in a tiny pile onto the lap of my apron. When I was a mental case, I was American. My eyes were blue. My build was slim. My hair was parted precisely down the middle, my cowlicks rising on either side as if cleaved by the hand of God, the one half of me wanting to pet pretty girls, the other half wanting to strangle them until their tongues swelled. It was 1946, and the starch hats of the nurses bobbed around me like white caps in the ocean. When I was a molester of girls, my eyes were blue and my eyebrows met in the middle. It was 1950 and my complexion was fair. I was American and slender. I sat in my cell dreaming of cotton panties blowing on a clothesline. My teeth jutted forward, all the better to eat them. All the children lined up in a row like bite-sized accidents softening on the road. When I was a window peeper, I was Finnish, with light brown hair and blue eyes. I told myself it would be the very last time I'd look at her. I just had to see her in the light of the candles one more time, and then I would enlist in the Navy. I climbed the familiar tree by her window and peered in, quivering, counting each brushstroke of her hair, holding my breath as she removed her bra and stepped into her nightgown. When I was an attempted sodomist, my hair was black and kinky. My eyes were maroon. It was 1934, and I was a Negro. I sat in my cell, remembering the sweet skin of my girlfriend, the way her hair floated around her shoulders when we went skinny dipping, her legs arching between mine, her teeth glittering just before the dogs, the spotlights, and the gloved hands jerked her out of the water. Now I carry her in my heart like a submerged city. When I stole scrap iron from the B&O Railroad, I was 17. My complexion was fair and my eyes were blue. The year was 1937 and I was Polish. I plucked mussels from the bulkhead and ate them raw. I spent my nights in the train yard and turned continuously in my sleep as I dreamt of chicken casserole and hot biscuits. A conductor spotted me the first time I tried to take a piece of railroad track. The next morning, hundreds of jellyfish washed up on the shore. All right, the next one. I'm doing a series of poems for a chapbook that's supposedly coming out when I finish the frickin' poems. It's all based on Ripley's, believe it or not, the original Robert Ripley from 1929. So the first part, and there's just like little tiny snippets of like what he perceived as like odd people. So I'm going to read the little snippet first, and then I'll write my poem that I wrote based on the snippet. In the western part of New York State dwells a community of crab-toed people whose peculiar affliction has puzzled scientists. The hands and feet of this group of people resemble the claws of a crab or a lobster. Robert Ripley, 1929. The Crab-Toed Tribe. In the family portrait above the mantle, the men stand with their arms behind them. The women sit with their claws folded in their laps. Just beyond our grim smiles, seahorses are visible in the wallpaper. At night, the sky is cleaved with meteorites. It comes with the X chromosome, can wait tick-like for generations. Then suddenly, the womb is bleeding, the mother torn. Now there are procedures to close the claws, in vitro with rubber bands. Sometimes the child survives. Other times it emerges blue-gilled as a noontime special, past its pull date, gasping on the plate. Each birth is a thimble-sized incident, easily erased, accounting for rumors of bubbling vats and parts secured with twine. We open our mouths and form bubbles, push ourselves forward, tap the glass with banded claws. We want so much to be taken home, want so much the wanting becomes an exoskeleton, picked clean as a wishbone, waiting for the breaking, existing only in the slender space between beauty and toxicity. Whatever held us together has been removed. All loose parts, thorax, claws, tail, mandibles, the astonishing devastation. And this is one of them from Frege. Zoonosis. Zoonosis is an animal disease that can be passed to humans. He promised me doves and cigarellos, but delivered only the crushed body of a pigeon and a jar of Vaseline, instructing, it will give the eyes a realistic glisten. He nailed my feet to the floor and fed me through a funnel. Later, he bit my hand and ran through the neighborhood, gathering small rodents, which he assembled before me as lymph fetishes. A shelf in my root cellar is lined with glass jars of whole chickens, their feathers verdigris, their necks twisted in impossible angles, home canned years ago to stave off a distant famine. What is the thinnest sound? The light cast below the barn door, the slow decay of wet hay, the razor wire which liberates the rabbit's foot, the rabbit slowly drained of luck. I walk into the foyer. I hold a net in my hands and approach him slowly. Tufts of hair grow out between my toes. My coat is ragged for want of grooming. My eyes are filmed over like a serial killer. So one little small last tiny poem that Margaret and I are writing poems together, so we're going to do a short poem. And it's called When Our Eyes Are Last Uncovered.
I will walk with you to the border of all the places we've called home. We will strip down past our skin. We will pull coins from our own ears.
We will act as decorations sprawled upon richly embroidered surfaces. We will pose below a haunted stereotype. We will shed our bodices.
I will step away from you, and you will follow, your feet in the mud. When I turn to you, you will turn away. I will see the shapes carved into your skull.
I will turn away because your gaze crashes through me as mad sparrows. I will follow because you are the winking of streetlights just before dusk.
You are the sharp edge of this metal lock guard on my door jamb, bent, cutting up my knuckles. I suck on the skin you've ripped from me, my darling.
I shall page through your flesh and praise your bones, dragging you by your prehensile tail toward the border, toward the naked void, toward the delirium we've called home. Thanks.